I can assure you that as far as the Middle East and Asia goes, we actually want to get dirt under our bootstraps, go down there, talk to them. Instead of presenting them with facts they have to comply with, work with them. And make sure that both the country we're trading with as well as Australia can work with systems. This is about having relationships with countries, not issuing dictums, not telling them what they must comply with, but treating them as an equal partner that we want to deal with long into the future.
But more and more Australian society and the global society is demanding that animal welfare be improved and that the social licence on farmers to farm is complied with. So would you acknowledge that there is that demand on farmers now and Australia had to take a lead?
I think certainly within Australia there is. I'm not quite sure how strong that is outside of Australia, but I can assure everybody of this. Without Australia's involvement in the live trade, no other country makes an attempt or goes out of its way to ensure the humane treatment of animals around the world.
Australia's trading difficulties with its partners is not just about live exports, though,
correct,
John Cobb. It's also about free trade agreements. So what would the coalition plan to do there that this government has not been able to do?
This government has been pretty tardy about securing an equal opportunity for our exporters, particularly in Korea, particularly in China, where in Korea, for example, we're currently 5.5% or thereabouts percent disadvantaged to the US beef trade, and will be around 8% or more on January the 1st next year. That's got to be done. In other words, don't do what this current government has done. Don't upset your trading partners by reneging on a defence deal, which this government did with Korea. Don't lag behind and not communicate with your own industry when you do a deal, as they have in situations within China, for example, where dairy products in particular are up to 17-18% a disadvantage to New Zealand because we haven't secured deals with them. And one of the problems is they haven't always consulted with industry and sometimes done a deal for the sake of a deal. We will have industry exporters, those who actually do export deals, consulting with them when we do trade deals.
Let's look at the food manufacturing sector. There is a plans here for a productivity commission to look at cutting the costs, which would start in 2014. What would you plan that would boost Australia's food manufacturing sector?
We have already committed to cut down compliance, be it environmental or otherwise, to centralise it, to bring it all down into one place. In other words, in issues that we duplicate state, say to the state, we will cede our power to you as long as you look after the problem. So it only has to be done once, not twice, or even three times. It sometimes is if you include local government. But whether it's the processing industry, agricultural food processing industry, or whether it's the agriculture itself, we are committed to knocking off at least $1 billion worth of unwarranted costs every year.
If one of the complaints about food manufacturing is that these are high labour costs that make it uncompetitive, do you plan to introduce or reintroduce something like work choices?
No, we most certainly do not. We have committed not to touch the legislation in the first 3 years.
What would you do to make labour cheaper?
Things much more flexible. You can work within the parameters of legislation. I'll give you an example. The dairy industry, for example, mostly milks twice a day, evening and morning. Now, that may be an hour and a half twice a day. The least you can employ anyone in a day is 3 hours, but the current situation does not allow you to cut that into two lots of an hour and a half, so they're stuck with 6 hours if they got to do that, when in actual fact they only need three. So you've got to be flexible in situations like that. And yes, the dairy farmer might have to throw them a few bob because they've got some extra travel, depending whether they live on or off-site, but there's got to be flexibility within the legislation. You've got to allow people to be able to deal with the situation as it occurs.
Can you give us details about your anti-dumping legislation that you would introduce that would stop cheaper imports and legally?
Well, actually, and I was on that task force with Soapy Mirabella, who is the industry minister there. And funnily enough, the government has already adopted some of the recommendations we put out. But yes, we would go further to make it less onerous for Australian companies to challenge dumping situations. We would go further in enabling, in assisting industries to process that, to prove the case. And I think at the moment the issue with SPC and the Murray-Goulburn is a classic case of where the government should be moving to help industry with an anti-dumping situation.